Mr. Jason Kreider.
Here.
Ms. Danielle Ruslayer.
Here.
And Mr. Derek Batzel is excused, and Shirley Wright excused, and Mr. Donald Sparkman.
Here.
We have a quorum.
We have no minutes to approve. Can you swear in the officer, sir?
Do you swear affirm that the evidence you're about to give will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do. For the record, let me indicate that Dwayne Thomas, Greg McCullen, Matt Lightfried, Charles Rich, Jason Kilcrease, David Thomas, Ralph Schollenberger, King Police Department, Captain Keith Asparovich, and the Mayor, Kim Gwynn, all accepted to testify this evening. For the police, the board, good evening.
Good evening.
My name is Charles Rich. I'm with the City of Ocala. I'm duly appointed Chief Code Official for the City. I'm certified by the Florida Association of Code Enforcement, certified in all four levels of training. I have been in charge of division for more than 6 years, have about 30 years of law enforcement experience, so I'll be presenting your cases this evening. At this time, I believe we have the first nuisance abatement case would be 2014-01, and I'm going to turn the presentation over to the City Attorney, Mr. Patrick Wood. You all have the presentation paperwork?
Yes.
Okay, good afternoon.
Hello.
Good to see y'all again. I know most of you, certainly Mr. Sparkman, who you're still on the Sparkman water diet, obviously. I need to do that myself. This is y'all, the City Council, as you probably were told, made a decision probably over a year ago to transfer the responsibilities of the Nuisance Abatement Board from themselves to the Code Board. You're not sitting as the Code Board, you're sitting as the Nuisance Abatement Board. And it's a separate duties and responsibilities. It's still governed by the Code of Ordinances, and we'll give you a brief explanation of that, and then we'll talk to you about the case and where we are in the case, and then I'm going to make a recommendation to you. Anyway, the state statutes have empowered municipalities and local governments to do what's called abate nuisances, so a nuisance abatement statute. And they specifically said that if there's properties that are being used for, in this case, drugs or prostitution, that you can bring an abatement action similar to a code board action against the property for those criminal acts on the property. We adopted an ordinance that empowered us to take advantage of that statute. And over the years, City Council sitting as a nuisance abatement board at the urging of the Ocala Police Department's chief, whoever the chief of police was at the time, has probably instituted 12 to 15 nuisance abatement actions, typically against commercial establishments, mostly motels and some apartment complexes, because they allowed nuisances to occur. The Nuisance Abatement Code entitles all the parties to the action to be served and be told that a complaint has been filed against them, and the complaint is on the new, I think they have a complaint, right? Okay, so you have the complaint, and you can see the allegations against the respondent, which in this case is Spring Manor Investments, LLC. They're the owner of an apartment complex known as Spring Manor, and it's kind of over by the Wendy's, just off on Silver Springs Boulevard, if you're familiar with that area. The code board, we did serve the respondents, owners, and agents with a copy of the complaint and a notice of the hearing. Setting forth that the hearing would be here today before you. They have the right to present any evidence they want. They have the right to have an attorney. They do have an attorney here tonight. They have the right to cross-examine witnesses. The witnesses will be sworn. They have the right to present any evidence. Somewhat akin to a code board action or a trial. I am, as a city attorney, acting as, in essence, the prosecuting attorney on behalf of Chief Graham for the complaint. In this case, we have met with the representatives, the management company, the on-site manager, and their attorney for Spring Manor. We've had a meeting with them, along with Mayor Gwynn and Captain Escaravage, who's sort of in charge of everything going on at Spring Manor. And they have told us that they are willing to essentially plead guilty to the allegations set forth in the complaint, and they are willing to take certain corrective actions that the police department and the mayor are approving of. The board does not have to do that. The board can require me to prove the case and not take their stipulation, and the board can take whatever action they want consistent with the code. I am going to recommend, however, that you do as recommended, because it's pretty much what we would have gotten anyway.
So you all mediated it out amongst yourselves?
Yes, sir. And I'll present the terms of the mediation.
Okay.
I have given a copy, had we been required to prove the case, so we have a record, I've given a copy of all the pertinent documents to the board clerk. She has them, and each of you have a copy, too, for your perusal. For those of you who don't know, I think you probably all know this, but in case you don't, the mayor in the city of Ocala is actually the head of the police department. And so the mayor has taken an active interest in this. When I get done talking, you'll be hearing from the mayor. I anticipate the mayor will recommend the stipulation I'm about to present to you. After I present the stipulation to you, I'll ask counsel for Spring Manor to address the board and affirm that I got the stipulation right that I wrote down. And if the board's willing, then we'll approve the stipulation. We will have to type it up and bring it back to, if approved, we'll have to bring it back, and Mr. Sparkman is president. At a later date, we'll get you to execute the stipulation. But anyway, here's the essence of the stipulation. Spring Manor admits to the allegations in the complaint. Spring Manor agrees to pay the fine, the maximum fine that could be assessed of $2,250. They agree to pay the cost and attorney's fees incurred by the city of $5,719.43. They will pay those on or before 90 days of the entry of the stipulated findings of facts and orders. And if they do so, the order will not be recorded in the property records, which would cause it to be a lien on the property. In addition to that, Spring Manor is agreeing to require of its residents a crime-free lease addendum as amended for trespass after warning. And I have a copy of this in the council, including the amendment.
Do we have that in our packet?
You do not. You do not. I don't see it. I have reviewed, along with Captain Escaravage, the crime-free lease addendum. I'm told, and I believe that this is a crime-free lease addendum that's approved by Housing and Urban Development specifically. There may be a program that requires that the police department get some sort of certification for the use of the addendum. And Spring Manor's agreed to apply for that approval, and the police department, of course, will do whatever they have to do to get that approval and thus enforce those terms. Spring Manor will agree to get a updated surveillance camera system on the property. They currently have one, but it's not up to speed. This one will be DVR and web accessible to Ocala Police Department. It will have the ability to recognize and videotape a driver of a car coming in and off the property, and also recognize the license plates of the cars coming in and off the property. They will do that on or before November 1st, 2014. They will make a lighting improvements by September 1st, 2014. They will upgrade all the Spring Manor owned lighting a meaning that's already there, if the bulbs are out or things like that. They will get that done by September 1st, 2014. They will meet with the City of Ocala OPD crime prevention specialist to review and jointly agree upon a what's called a SEPTED plan, you know, which deals with the lighting. The chief of police will sign off on that. If not, can't agree, then we'll return to the board. They will provide fencing. They will get a fencing plan, once again, jointly approved between them and the chief of police by September 1 of 2014, and have the fencing improvements installed by November 1, 2014. They have already hired, but they will continue to hire armed security in place until December 31, 2014. That security will be for the rest of this month of August. It will be from 7 o'clock p.m. to 7 o'clock a.m. Starting September 1st, it will be for 7 days, but 8-hour shifts with staggered hours, but that will include Friday, Saturday, and Sunday night. Beginning October 1 December, through December 31 of 2014, they will have Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, and 2 rotating days, 8-hour shifts. They will install a speed table at the entrance, exit, which is a one-way and one-way in and out apartment complex. They will put a speed table there to slow people down so the cameras that they're going to install can get pictures of the license plate so they're not flying through there and of the drivers or occupants of the car or the driver. Like I said, the payment of the aforesaid fees and attorney's fees and costs will be paid within 90 days with no recording of the order of the lien.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen of the board. Thank you for having us here tonight. I think we had a very productive meeting. We discussed some of the issues, some of the suggestions that the City of Ocala had. I apologize, I'm Lynette Whitehurst. I represent Spring Manor Investors. You need my address? 4 Southeast Broadway Street, Ocala, Florida, 34478. I'm with Blanchard, Mary, Medellin, Kirkland. We have agreed to the stipulation to all of the terms that you just heard, and Spring Manor Investors are very, very excited to work forward to do what's necessary to make sure that this property is a safe place for not only the residents that live there, but also the surrounding community. Thank you.
Yeah, can I ask you something?
Yes,
did
sir,
y'all
please.
Address any of the noise activity in that area right there?
Noise?
Yes, ma'am. The cars coming back and through there with loud music and all that.
That wasn't brought to our attention. We can address that. Our plan does include adding some additional fencing, which will eliminate some of the cars, perhaps, that are going through the neighborhood.
Just passing through, kind of thing.
That wasn't brought to our attention, though. And the development has some, it doesn't have a through street that I'm aware of. But again, that wasn't brought to our attention, so no, we did not address that.
Thank you.
That wasn't in the complaint, I'm sorry.
Okay.
Yes, sir.
Thank you.
Anyone else, any questions? Thank you.
Can we hear from Mr. Gwynn?
Yes, sir. I was going to offer him up to you.
Mayor, you're on the hot seat now.
Kent Gwynn, Mayor of Ocala, 110 Southeast Wachula Avenue. I rarely stand on this side of the podium. But anyway, we met with them, and I'm happy with what we agreed to. They were agreeable to everything that we talked about. I told them, that I'll be their best friend if they do what they're supposed to. We'll also be their worst enemy if they don't. But I think the timelines that we've come up with are fair. They're going to come back and get all those things to us. And I think, Pat, you talked about the timelines. I couldn't hear everything you said back there. So they're agreeable, to do all those things. I'm happy with it. People are getting murdered in our city. We had the death of a young man there, just the other day. And I told them that that's not okay. And we're not going to have that anymore. We're going to do everything that within our power to stop that. But I need your help, to do that.
You have our help, sir.
Okay. All right. Well, I appreciate it. All right. Thank you.
Can we hear from Keith?
Good afternoon. My name is Keith Scaravage. I'm the district commander for the Ocala Police Department, 402 South Pine Avenue. Mr. Sparkman, how you been?
Been fine.
And board members. I've been the district commander in East Ocala for 3.5 years now. Spring Manor has been growing in problems. This would be easy with it, with problems constantly. There's a unbelievable amount of police services, proactive police services in there. I've compared them to 4 other complexes by unit, by total calls for service. And Spring Manor, I believe, if I got the actual numbers right there.
And their report is actually starting on page 158.
It's about 13 calls for service per unit, where we have units that are almost 100. Complexes that have another 100 more units in it, and it's like maybe 1 call or 2 calls per unit. The place is out of control. The on-site management has tried very hard. It's taken us a little bit to drum up the attention of the management company, which is a national company. It's just not somebody here mm-hmm. locally that owns it. Spring Manor's not owned locally.
Keith, I got one question for
yes,
you.
Yes, sir.
Were you happy with this agreement being the boots that are on the ground?
I'm happy with the agreement we're at now.
Yes, sir.
I want to see it come to fruition. If it don't, I'll be the first one knocking on Mr. Rich's door, then Mr. Gilligan's door, and then if I can beat the mayor here, to your door. But the residents here, just a small number of residents,
not having folks show up
that have to deal with daily gunfire, daily people screaming, yelling, using words we can't repeat here.
Yes, sir.
And I think with the stipulation we've come to and continued working together, us, them, and the city, other city departments, with the lighting and what have you, we can make this a nice place to live.
Well, it's pretty impressive to have the mayor stand up and say he agrees with the agreement and the boots that are on the street, as you are.
Yes, sir.
And our attorney,
Yes, sir.
I think if you come up with that agreement, that we'll certainly look at it and I'd like to hear a little bit from the residents as well.
And I'll get out of your way, but the one thing I don't want to happen is we need y'all to put the finger down so they can't run out.
They're not going to run away
from us. You know what I mean. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
We have 2 residents that have indicated they wish to speak tonight. Ron Woodward.
His name's Ron Woodward, address 2937 Northeast 7th Place, Ocala, Florida. One of the residents couldn't be here tonight, and he had a letter that he wanted y'all to receive, so I'd like to approach the board and give him the
actual letter.
Does he need to be sworn?
We're going to have you swear in real quick.
Oh, okay.
Do you swear or affirm that the evidence you're about to give will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing
but
the truth?
Yes, ma'am.
And
That's from Mr. Tommy Smith, my next-door neighbor. And my statement just basically is I used to jog all throughout that neighborhood up until about probably 5 to 7 years ago. I just don't really feel safe. I used to jog right through Spring Manor, the little cul-de-sac there, and never felt a worry. And now I know by Tommy, the guy who wrote the letter there, he just built a really beautiful back porch. They can't really enjoy it and relax for fear of, you know, gunfire and yelling and screaming. So that's basically all I had to say.
Thank you, sir.
Yes, sir.
Do we have anybody else?
We do. Matt.
Well, thank you all for listening to me.
Matt, would you please swear yourself in, please?
Do you swear affirm that the evidence you're about to give will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Yes, I do.
And now, if you could state your name and address for the record.
Max McInnish, 2968 Northeast 7th Place, Ocala. I think they've covered everything. I think he pretty well took the thunder out of a lot of things I was going to say. But every so often you hear these gunfire going off, and it's just not safe. I had a grandson. He come running in. He said, "Somebody's shooting at us. Somebody's shooting at us." You know, they're scared to death. They shouldn't have to live like that. I've been there since 1971. I've seen a lot of changes. But, you know, and I believe they're on the right track now. I believe they're doing what they need to. One other thing I'd like to ask them to do, and that's background checks, because these people move in, then they bring the rest of the bunch in with them, and they need to have some background checks done on this. The cameras is a great idea. It's a super idea, and the police, the other night we drove by there, and they were covering the streets out there. Thank God there was two police cars sitting there. They was watching to see what was going to go on. So, you know, it's just a situation that needs to be handled, and like I said, I think you're on the right track. You really are. So I appreciate the opportunity just to talk to you for a second, and hopefully we'll get this resolved.
Thank you, Matt.
The police board, I would point out for the board's information that we were assured by on-site staff that they do conduct, and by council, that they do conduct security background checks and financial checks on all of their residents now. So that is occurring.
That's good.
If that concludes the testimony, I would just say that at this point, the city would respectfully request a motion of the board to accept the stipulated agreement as outlined by city's counsel, Mr. Gilligan, and agreed to by respondent's counsel. And if you guys have a discussion that you'd like to entertain on that.
What's the maximum fine per day we're allowed to assess?
$250 is a first offense. Very similar to what we're familiar with. Mm-hmm.
The total of this is $7,969.43. That's what I come up with.
Well, we still don't have some of the costs submitted yet.
We did. I gave them the whole cost number.
Did you?
Yeah.
You gave me $5,119.43.
Yes, sir.
And $2,250.
$5,719.43.
Mm-hmm. Plus the $2,250.
Yes, I didn't add those two.
And that's to be paid in 30 days?
90.
Okay. Discussion?
I have no other questions.
I have no
other
questions.
No, I don't.
Anybody have any
questions? I'd make a motion to accept the stipulated agreement.
Would you also add to your motion the authority to Mr. Sparkman to execute the memorialized stipulated agreement?
Yes, sir. And I would also add the authority of Mr. Sparkman to execute the agreement.
One second. Second that.
I have a motion by Joseph to...
Jason.
Jason, excuse me. To accept the revised stipulation. And I have a second by Daniel Roos. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. None opposed. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Okay.
At this time, the city rests and we could adjourn the nuisance abatement board.
Meeting adjourned. Thank you, folks, for showing up. I hope things change.
And at this time, I'd like for us to re-adjourn as the code enforcement board.
All right. I think that went well. For our first one?
Yeah. I would have liked to take out a question.
Yes, sir.
I've been a board member now.
And you've done a fine job, by the way.
The question is, when you talk about all the laws and things that are going to stipulate and do things, one of the things that I see happen so often is that you know the apartment. One bedroom apartment. And you have 16 people living in that apartment.
Well, that's really up to the management, you know, and they have rules and regulations for that, but it gets by, you know. That's a major place there, you know. It's hard to police that kind of thing, you know, because I know I'm in the rental business too. You know, I rent to two people, and all of a sudden, there's 10 there. Well, I have to go police, you know, and if you had 100 of those things, you see what I'm saying? And people, they shift in and out. You know, it's a tough thing to do. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think what the stipulation they got was a very good one, so we can go there. Okay.
Good evening, board members. If it pleases the board, I would say that, for the record, the officers are still here. They're still under oath. We've already had an invocation and a roll call. If we could proceed with approval of the minutes of the last code board hearing. We could start there, and we have representation here for a case.
Okay. Do we have a motion to approve the minutes, old minutes?
I'd make a motion to approve the old minutes.
A second.
Okay. Jason, a motion to approve the minutes. Daniel Roos seconded it. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
All opposed? None. Okay. We open.
Thank you, sir. Charles Rich, the City of Ocala Code Enforcement Division. We'll start with the first case that we have representation here for this evening, CON 14-0900, the City of Ocala and Officer Dwayne Thomas versus Fenton and Doris Hayes, a location of 815 Southwest 12th Avenue, Ocala, Marion County, Florida, a violation of Section 3432, Water Collection, Section 3495, Weed Accumulation of Trash and Other Unsightly Unsanitary Matter, Section 82151, the Standard Housing Code as adopted, specifically Sections 304, 302.1, 305.161, 302.6, 302.9, 305.3.1, 305.3.2, 305.7, 305.11.1, 305.11.2, and 305.16.1. Parcel ID is 2849-004-022. Legal service was obtained on 7/19/2014 for the notice of violation and the notice of hearing. We posted the property on 7/24/2014 for the notice of violation and the notice of hearing. I would point out for the board that we would require a building permit to commit these repairs. We have included photographs of the current condition of the property in your presentation. Beginning, there's quite a few photographs there, so I'm just going to tell you what page they start on, and you guys can cycle through them if you'd like. The pictures start on page 30.
The summary of findings that Officer Dwayne Thomas responded to this location due to a citizen's complaint, and upon arrival, observed the properties in violation of the city's code as previously stated. Officer Thomas met with the tenant who showed him the inside of the rental property. Officer Thomas observed and photographed violations of the electrical, plumbing, and structural standard housing codes. Additional investigation by Officer Thomas revealed that he spoke with the respondent and advised her a building permit would be required and for some of the repairs that need to be remedied to cover the violations. Officer Thomas reinspected and observed the respondent has not taken any corrective action on the violation, and all of the attempts by Officer Thomas to have the respondent remedy the violations have not been successful in the violation remains. I would point out that Officer Thomas has pointed out to me that the respondent is here this evening and that the respondent has agreed to get some contractor in there to get a permit and to make repairs. Staff recommendation, if you would like, I'll read that into the record.
Please do.
The staff recommendation is to find the respondent guilty of violating City Code Sections 3432, 3495, and 82151, order them to drain or treat all standing water collections upon the property and cover the pool, cut and clean up their property, properly removing any junk and debris, obtain a permit from the building department to remedy all violations of the standard housing code as noted by the building and code inspector within 30 days, and pay all costs of prosecution of the case as assessed within 30 days, failing which fine $25 per day, which results in a lien against the property. After 90 days of non-payment, refer the city attorney's office for consideration of foreclosure. Officer Thomas is prepared to answer any questions that you may have. I'm not sure if the respondent would like to make a statement to you or not, or if you have questions of the respondent. They are here this evening.
I do.
Okay, Thomas first.
I'd like to hear from Mr. Thomas first.
Yes, sir. Just to start, I was actually drawn there by the tenant. I have had previous dealings with Mrs. Hayes for several years, actually, with a pool issue and a neighbor. At the time, they had tenants in there that were out of control. The current tenants that are in there, you can see by the pictures, the house is in pretty bad shape. It's our first time being invited inside to this house. I felt that it was bad enough that we needed to bring it and get an order to make
Absolutely.
Sure that the repairs are made to the house.
How many people are living in this house, Dwayne?
I believe there's a family of four. I may be wrong.
Children?
Yeah, there are children. Ms. Hayes could elaborate a little more on those details, but my understanding is that she is willing to get the contractor in there. I think she was a little unaware of how bad the issues were. Now that she's been made aware, she's willing to make the corrections. We just want to get an order to secure that does take place.
Okay. Any more questions for Dan? Thank you. Can we hear from Ms. Hayes?
You swear in front that the evidence you're about to give will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Yes, ma'am.
And now if you can state your name and address for the record.
Doris Hayes.
Hello, Ms. Hayes.
Oh, 17. Oh, sorry.
Are you aware of what your house looks like on the inside?
I was not aware of it. The people that just asked to move in there about, 6 months ago, when they asked me to move in the house, actually what was going on was the people had just got moved out because they kept putting the stuff with people's cells, to the place where they go sell parts and stuff like that. And I kept getting a cold, and Mr. Dwayne telling me about it, and I go over there, argue with them, I pick up the stuff myself, and they still will leave the stuff. So I did an eviction to get them out of the house. And after that happened, then my husband had gotten really bad sick, and these other people come that's in there now, and they were asking me to move in. I told them I couldn't let them move in the house because of the stuff that hadn't gotten fixed because of what the position it was left in. And so that's when, actually I have a letter from them where they had said that they would help me get the stuff done because they needed a place really bad. Her kids from CDF had been taken, and the dad had them, and he would shove them down the floor, this and that. Actually, they were there this week, the CDS people.
The problem here is you rented the place to someone when it was in substandard condition.
Yes.
Knowing that this place was in substandard condition.
Yes.
Okay. We're going to require you to get a building contractor out there to fix these.
That's what I've been doing.
And we're going to give you a certain amount of time to do it.
Yes.
And if it's not met, then we're going to impose a fine on you.
Well, that's what I've been trying to do. I went and found a person finally to, you know, to do the work.
It has to be a licensed contractor, ma'am.
Yes, sir. Right.
And you have to work right along with Mr. Thomas there.
Right. Yes, sir.
And there's children living in this house now? Would you live in this house, ma'am?
Actually, to tell you the truth, I had went, you could call to the city of the clerk's office in Marion County, that I had went and called for, I had went and asked them to move out the house. I need the house to fix it. They told me, will I please, please not evict them out of the house because she need a place, because if she didn't keep the kids in the house, CDS would take her kids back from her. I have a letter here that proves that. And it's not me. They were begging me. And I told them, well, I had already paid them $200 to the clerk's office for them to get them out of there because I couldn't do the work really. That's what I was doing. I knew that they didn't need to be in there. But here I am trying to help them, and then my husband died in the same time, right between this time.
Sorry to hear that, ma'am.
It is really sad that I'm trying to help somebody, and then here I am caught up in the lurch of everything. Very sad.
We still have children living in a substandard house with feces going on the floor, inadequate wiring.
I think that at this point they're going to have to bite the bullet and find somewhere else to go while you fix it.
I mean, I can't.
It's sad, but I mean, oh well.
I see what staff recommendation is here. You have a contractor in mind already, ma'am?
Yes, sir.
And is a licensed contractor with the city of Ocala?
Yes, sir.
I'd make a motion to accept staff recommendation. There's no further comments.
I would second the motion if there's no further comments.
We have a motion by Daniel Roos and a second by Joseph.
Jason.
Jason. I don't want to call you Joseph, don't I? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Okay, you understand what just happened, ma'am?
No, sir.
Okay. We're going to give you, let's see, let's go over this.
I think Officer Thomas can explain the conditions and we'll also send it to her.
Okay.
I think just that they found that you are, in fact, guilty of the violation and
right.
You're going to take care of it within the time period specified.
Which is 30 days.
And we'll send you a copy of that paperwork. And you can also coordinate through Officer Thomas.
Thank you.
Thank you, ma'am. Thank you. Good luck to you.
Thank you. If it please the board, I'd move on in the agenda to page 2. Case number COM 140710, the city of Ocala, and Officer Dwayne Thomas versus Franka Blackman, care of Warren C. Blackman, a location of the 2000 block of Southwest 1st Street. Street, Ocala, Marion County, Florida, a violation of section 3495. The parcel ID is 2260149-016. Legal service and posting has been obtained as indicated on page 2 of your presentation. We do have a copy of a fax that we had to provide the request deed for the property. The summary of findings with Officer Dwayne Thomas responded to this location due to a citizen's complaint. And upon arrival, observed the properties in violation of the city's code and that it is overgrown. Additional investigation by Officer Thomas revealed the respondent has not taken corrective action on the violation. All attempts by Officer Thomas to have the respondent remedy the violation have not been successful. Gotcha. And the violation remains. Staff has included photographs of the current condition of the property at the end of your presentation. Staff is prepared to answer any questions. I would point out for the record that the respondent is not here to answer to this cause this evening, and staff has a recommendation at the bottom of page 2.
Chip, can I ask your question?
Yes, sir.
I see where there are two affidavits posted.
Yes, sir.
Attesting to the notice of hearing and notice to appear having been posted at City Hall.
Yes, sir.
I don't see where it's been posted at the property as required.
Well, we received a signature for the notice of violation, but we did not receive a signature for the notice of hearing that was returned.
Okay.
And I'm just looking here now.
And I think I noticed the same problem with the prior case.
Let me just see. You had an affidavit of posting at City Hall, and I have an affidavit of posting by the officer. Yeah, I think they executed the wrong, they executed the one for City Hall rather than property. I'm gonna ask Officer Thomas if he posted the property as a question just to cover that.
Okay.
That way we would not be required to have the affidavit. I think they just put the wrong one in there.
The other question I have about the affidavit, Chip, is that the code requires the affidavit to have a copy of the notice appended to it. Does it when it's posted?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Officer
Might
Thomas,
be a good idea to include that in the case file.
I'm going to direct your attention to page 3 of the photographs at the top. Is that a photograph of your posting down there?
Yes.
And you posted that property with the notice of hearing?
Yes.
And the notice of violation, right?
Yes.
And that was on 8-6-2014 at 9:36 a.m. in the morning, as indicated by the time being sent photograph?
Yes.
So in your affidavit, it was only at the City Hall posting. It did not show the posting for the property. So you're attesting here that that was posted on the property. Therefore, we don't need your affidavit. Yeah. Is that covered for you?
Wow.
Or not?
No, because proof of posting shall be by affidavit, not by attestation. Now,
I know, but what he's saying, if you'd like, we could bring this back at another time. I don't understand why both of them were executed as the City Hall rather than the property as well. I'm just going to this real quick. I can see both of them are City Hall.
If anyone can test it this later on, you know, if we put a lien on this property, someone digging
there will be a lien.
Yeah, there will be a lien.
Has there been any contact with the respondent?
None. I've had previous cases where I had contact, but that's not the case.
Well, it looks like they're going to get a 30-day extension.
Yeah, I think we would just bring this back to probably the magistrate.
So should we just make a motion to table this?
I think that the city would withdraw this case at this time.
You don't have to make a motion on that in case it's withdrawn.
I guess you all would make a motion to accept that the city's withdrawing if you'd like.
Anybody to make a motion?
I'll make a motion to do that.
Danielle Roos makes a motion that the city can withdraw
And I'll just check this and make sure we have.
Jason, second it.
Carry this through.
Was it you?
For some reason, I'm all of them.
Joseph.
Chip, you may want to.
Second it.
Prior case.
All in favor?
Aye.
This may be real quick tonight because I see we have the wrong one in the next case.
Which is the next case?
Lee and Trust.
COM 140884.
Same thing?
I'm just making sure that we haven't duplicated that.
You know, the affidavit of posting is not required when you provide notice by mail. But if you do it, you got to do it right.
Yeah, on this one, we do have legal service on both of them. So we were not required to post the property. So I'll leave it to your judgment as to whether or not you want me to proceed with this case or not. They signed for both the notice of violation.
In an abundance of caution, Chip, you know, I think once you choose to certify publication, you've got to do it right.
The city withdrawing?
Yep.
I have a motion.
Motion to accept the city's withdrawal.
I have a motion from Jason, and a second by Joseph. All in favor?
Aye.
That'll bring us to page 3, and I'm going to check that one now, too. I don't.
Might be a quick night.
Yeah, I think it is. This one also is executed improperly.
Are you going to withdraw?
Is this the 0695?
0695. We'll bring all of these back to y'all.
Okay. Do I have a motion?
I'll make a motion.
Ms. Daniel Roos makes a motion to withdraw. City withdrawal. Do I have a second?
Second.
Joseph gives a second. All in favor?
Aye.
I'm just looking over the next one on the list right now. I apologize to the board for that. This one also only shows the city hall posting. Does not show the property listed.
In which case is this?
COM 140735.
Do we have a motion for the city withdrawal?
Motion to accept the city withdrawal.
Jason has a motion for the city to withdraw. Do we have a second?
Second.
Joseph has a second. All in favor?
Aye.
COM 140744 on page 4. That one also is incorrect.
We have a motion for the city withdrawal.
I make the motion.
Ms. Roos makes a motion for the city to withdraw. Do I have a second?
Second.
Second by Jason. All in favor?
Aye.
Next case.
COM 140832. This one was posted on the property. And affidavit accurately reflects the property location. So I'll present that case at this time.
Mm-hmm.
All right. This would be COM 140832, the City of Ocala versus Byright Properties, LLC, a case involving Officer Jason Kilcrease and Exit Strategy August 13, LLC. A location of 110 Northwest 28th Street, Ocala, Marion County, Florida. A violation of Section 3495, weeds, accumulation of trash, and other unsightly and sanitary matter. The parcel ID is 25173-000-00. Legal service and posting were obtained as indicated. We've also included a copy of the SunBiz report. The summary of findings that Officer Jason Kilcrease located this property and observed the property is in violation of the city's code and that it is overgrown, contains junk and debris, and broken and fallen fence. Additional investigation by Officer Kilcrease revealed the respondent has not taken corrective action on the violation. All attempts by Officer Kilcrease to have the respondent remedy the violation have not been successful. and the violation of maintenance. I would point out for the board that Officer Kilcrease first observed the violation on 7-3 and asked them to take care of the problem as indicated in the pictures with the fencing being destroyed there. It's basically junk and debris upon the property. I would point out that on page 36 in your presentation, the code says that if it's other unsightly or unsanitary matter, I would contend that this is unsightly, meaning that it's broken down and in pieces there. I think they could have taken care of that. Officer Kilcrease is prepared to answer any questions that you may have. I would point out for the record that the respondent is not present to talk about this case this evening, and staff has a recommendation at the bottom of page 2.
I would like to hear from the officer, please. When you contacted the respondent, what did they tell you?
I've cited this property multiple times.
Okay.
This is the first time bringing it before you, mm-hmm. the board. I just got contacted about a week ago from the bank, and she told me that there was a company going out, going to be cutting the grass and picking up the parts of the fence and maintaining it every 2 weeks from there on out. I went by there again today before I came here, and the grass is back up high again, and the fence is still broken down.
So what she told you didn't happen?
Nothing happened. She even gave me a phone number to the management company. I spoke to the gentleman that told me himself that he's picked it up and that we're in compliance. I cut the grass and the fence is picked up. The grass was cut, but with it raining as much as it does, and within 2 weeks it's back high again. So
but the fence was never fixed.
The fence was never fixed.
Never picked up around it or anything like that.
It's currently in the same position that it was the day that I took it.
And is that why the city's recommendation is 50 a day instead of I don't know if we have a normal 25 that usually
we generally do 50 a day to businesses.
Okay, that's what it is.
Make a motion at this time to accept staff recommendation.
I have a motion from Ms. Roos to accept staff recommendation. Do I have a second?
I'll second that motion.
Okay. Jason seconded. All in favor?
Aye.
Pass.
And I'm just going to check this last one for the same problems that we had on the others. It's CON 140940. Situation. The notice of violation was properly executed for the address as affidavit indicates. And the posting is correct as well for the property location and also at City Hall. Therefore, I would proceed in this one. The City of Ocala and Officer Ralph Schollenberger versus Mario Vitelli and Carol by Bartholomew Revocable Trust, the Mario Vitelli Trust and Carol Bartholomew Trust. A location at 710 Northeast 28th Avenue, Ocala, Marion County, Florida, violation of Section 3495. The parcel ID is 26776-000-00. Legal service and posting have been obtained as indicated on page 2 of the presentation. The summary of findings are that Officer Ralph Schollenberger located his property and observed the property in violation of the city's code and that it is overgrown. Additional investigation by Officer Schollenberger revealed there have been 9 previous cases for the same violation upon the property. Work by Officer Schollenberger eventually enabled the violation to be cleared up by the respondent. However, the city is coming before you to obtain an order this evening. Because of the fact that we've had 9 previous cases, they seem to go right up to the hearing date and cut it and then call you back up. And so we'd like to stop that activity. Of course, as you're aware, Florida law under Chapter 162, which is part of your presentation on page 4, says that if the violation is corrected, then reoccurs, or the violation is not corrected by the time specified for correction by the code officer or code inspector, the case may be presented to the enforcement board, even if the violation has been corrected prior to the board hearing, and the notice shall so state. Our notice does state that. Therefore, the city has also included copies of the photographs, the current condition of the property out there. You'll see that they have finally taken care of it as of Officer Schollenberger's last inspection on 8-7-2014. Prior to that, and then all the other nine cases that we've had, or why we're here tonight. Officer Schollenberger is here and prepared to testify in this case. I would point out for the record that we do not have representation by the respondent, and we're prepared to answer any additional questions you may have. You all may be familiar with this place and this location. This is over by Spring Manor Apartments. And it's a frequent flyer for me.
Can we shorten the time and raise the fine?
That would be all up to your discussion.
Well, the time I don't think is going to matter that much initially, because I think it sounds like the property is already in compliance at this time. And so I really don't think the fine is going to come into play. The cost of prosecution will have to pay. So then if they come back up as a repeat offender, you know.
And you guys could assess them a fine, right, if you were so inclined. That's all up to your discretion.
Well, could we say for a period of time they have to keep it up?
Well, actually, that would be require another case on our part.
Pretty much it's just the code. If they come back up as a repeat offender, I mean,
they will assess
some serious fines at that point.
I think their previous experience with us is that maybe this will get their attention, and if it doesn't, I'm sure you all will be prepared to act in a more forceful manner as a repeat violator.
All right.
I'll make a motion to accept staff recommendation.
I have a motion, Ms. Roos, to accept staff recommendation. Do I have a second?
I'll second that motion.
Jason seconds. All in favor?
Aye.
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 That's it. I would just respectfully request a motion to accept all the evidence and testimony in tonight's hearings into the record. And I'm sorry, we don't have any old business, do we? I'm sorry, I do have.
Yeah.
I have two items. I apologize. On your at the bottom of page 4 under old business consent agenda for Massey hearings, I would remove CUM 140254, Friends Recycling, and respectfully request a motion of the board that you accept the affidavit of noncompliance in there and order us to proceed with previous board's orders.
I'd make that motion.
I have a motion by Danielle Roos to accept staff recommendation on this hearing.
I'll second.
Second by Jason. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Having said that, I would also respectfully request a motion at this time.
1 second.
I think we have to still make a motion to accept all evidence and testimony.
Right, that's what I would ask for.
I'd make that motion then.
I'd second.
Yeah. I have a motion by Danielle, second by Jason. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Having said that, if you don't have any further questions of us, we'll correct our snafu and bring cases back to you with properly executed affidavits. You want to address the board?
Yeah, I just need to apologize. I have been out of commission, but I'm back in commission, and I forgot, even after having a reminder yesterday that I was supposed to be here, because I haven't been anywhere, and my sister keeps my calendar. She said, do you have anywhere to go? I said, no. And so she's been driving me, and I drove over here. I am so sorry.
All right, 10 days in jail and beat with a rubber hose, yeah, and then we'll accept it.
For the record, board member Shirley, right, I would also indicate that she did have surgery.
Okay, we'll forgive you.
Okay,
meeting adjourned.
Thank you.
Was it too bad?